The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 22, verses 24 to 29. It's page 227 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. The commander ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and interrogated in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. As they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, "Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty?" When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported it. "What are you going to do?" he asked. "This man is a Roman citizen." The commander went to Paul and asked, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes, I am," he answered. Then the commander said, "I had to pay a lot of money for my citizenship, but I was born a citizen." Paul replied. Those who were about to interrogate him were through immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. Amen. Bound with two chains, standing on a stairway which connects outer court to the Roman army's barracks of Antonia, Paul began his defense to the Jews in Jerusalem who were about to beat him to death. Listening to his defense, when Paul mentioned the justification of spreading gospel to the Gentiles by citing the words of God, they all together became furious, shouted and stopped Paul from speaking. They, with one voice, shouted, "Rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live." They wanted to kill him. In accordance with their tradition, they threw off their cloaks and flung dust into the air to vent their extreme fury. It was the commander who allowed Paul to give his defense when bound in two chains and being moved by the Roman soldiers to the barracks of Antonia. The language, however, that Paul used to give his defense was Hebrew of the Jews, according to Acts chapter 22, verse 2. More specifically, it was Aramaic, which the Jews used as their mother tongue at the time. The commander had no way to understand what Paul was saying to the Jews in Aramaic and paid a keen attention to the reaction of the Jews who were listening to Paul. Suddenly, as the Jews shouted in anger and stopped him talk, they seemed to be about to beat him to death. They all threw off their cloaks and flung dust into the air. The commander knew it was the sign that the anger of Jews went extreme. The commander soon tried to take action. In verse 24, the commander ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and interrogated in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. The commander ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks of Antonia. Then he commanded to flog and interrogate Paul to find out why the people were so furious and trying to kill him, because he wanted to know the reason with a language that he can understand. The The whip of Rome was known to be the most brutal whip in human history. There was a piece of iron at the edge so that the flesh was flayed off the body. Some of those who were flogged by such brutal whip would become handicapped, while others would die. With such flogging at his later life, considering the average life at the time, Paul could have ended his life in Jerusalem even without leaving for Rome, the heart of the Roman Empire, which was his destination. God, with not too short arm, however, didn't leave Paul alone with the relentless flogging the Roman army. In verse 25, as they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, "Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty?" The Roman soldiers had Paul to raise his arms so that they can flog him well, binding him to poles with leather straps. It was just about time the brutal flogging begins. At the right time, Paul asks the centurion, "Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty?" The Roman law strictly banned flogging to Roman citizens before they were proven guilty and the punishment was sentenced through legitimate trials. If that law was breached, the person who flogged had to be punished. The centurion was alarmed by the fact Paul was a Roman citizen. If Paul, a Roman citizen, was flogged, let alone himself a supervisor, the commander who ordered flogging would have been punished. In verse 26, when the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported it. "What are you going to do?" he asked. "This man is a Roman citizen." The centurion immediately went to the commander and reported that Paul was a Roman citizen and asked what he was going to do. He meant that they should not trigger any harm by flogging Paul, a Roman citizen, in any case. In verses 27 and 25, the commander went to Paul and asked, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes, I am," he answered. Then the commander said, "I had to pay a lot of money for my citizenship." "But I was born a citizen," Paul replied. By the report from the centurion that Paul was a Roman citizen, the commander also was shocked. He immediately went to Paul with his two arms bound to the poles for flogging. He checked if Paul was really a Roman citizen. When Paul said yes, the commander said he bought the citizenship for a large amount of money. It was an indirect question asking Paul how he became a Roman citizen when he couldn't even imagine Paul was so. Paul replied, "I was born a Roman citizen." At the time, only Roman citizens wore clothes called toga, which was draped around the body from the left shoulder to the bottom. Toga, however, was not so easy to wear that ordinary citizens did not usually wear it, except high-ranking officials or when attending an official event. Also, people didn't carry a top type of resident registration at the time. Documentation that proves they were Roman citizens was stored at public offices. So there was no other option for those who didn't wear toga to prove their citizenship. At the time, however, people believed when someone told they were Roman citizens, because if it was a lie, they were sentenced to death without an exception. That was why the commander also trusted Paul when he said he was a Roman citizen. Years ago, there were two ways to become non-Roman citizens to become citizens of the Roman Empire. First, to make a contribution to the empire. Second, to buy a citizenship from corrupt public officers. Children, of course, inherited the Roman citizenship that Paul was born a Roman citizen meant either Paul's father or grandfather made a contribution to the empire, or he bought it for money. Based on the norm at the time, the citizenship was not all equal. Citizenship acquired by blood was considered, like Paul, more valuable than those by purchase. And older citizenship deemed more worthy than newly purchased ones. In every respect, the citizenship of Paul, who were born Roman citizen, was superior than that of the commander who bought the citizenship. In verse 29, those who were about to interrogate him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. The Roman soldiers who were about to flog Paul, based on the order of the commander, disappeared upon his citizenship being confirmed. The commander was also afraid that he ordered Paul, a Roman citizen, be bound with two chains and his arm ties tied to the poles for flogging. Even with the fact that he treated a Roman citizen like that, would be subject to punishment. The commander officially called on a council to legally find out why the Jews in Jerusalem tried to kill Paul, as we will see next Sunday more closely. Since being called by God, Paul revealed that he was a Roman citizen for the second time. Previously, Paul had considered what he thought his pride as waste since being called. It was because Although he was highly recognized at a young age by making worldly prides as the goal of his life, he realized that such goal of life would eat his life up in front of the Lord. Part of the prize that Paul valued as the purpose of his life was the Roman citizenship. To Paul, however, who obtained the everlasting citizenship to heaven in God, the Roman citizenship was no more the goal of his life. Based on the command of the Lord, Paul began his first mission trip and was put in trouble wherever he went. He was stoned by the people, incited by the Jews in Lystra, was considered dead, and carried out of the city by the people. If he asked the government for help by disclosing his citizenship, he would have not gone through such trouble and insert. Paul didn't do that because he had forgotten his citizenship at all, since he was being called by God. It was when Paul stopped at Philippi in Europe in his second mission trip. There was a poor woman who was possessed by a demon, and some ill-tempered people made money by using her as a fortune teller. Encountering continuously with the woman for several days, Paul drove out a demon from her in the name of God. In the meantime, those who were making money with using her brought Paul and his companion Silas before the rulers of Philippi because they could no longer make money with using her. They, however, falsely accused Paul of advocating customs unlawful for them, Romans, to accept. Driven by them, people in Philippi also joined to shout and accuse Paul to the magistrates. The magistrates in Philippi sentenced them into beating without any trials, and put them in jail. Even beaten and put in jail under false accusation, Paul couldn't recall he was a Roman citizen. That night, he was just pleased when the prison guard and his family received the gospel from Paul with the mysterious providence of God. Next morning, the magistrates of Philippi, who sentenced beating and jail term to Paul and Silas, sent officers to the guard to set them free. At the very moment, Paul barely remembered he and Silas were Roman citizens. So Paul told the guard who informed him to be free as follows. In Acts 16:37, but Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." Knowing Paul said that, the magistrates in Philippi were startled and hurriedly went to the prison for Paul and Silas. They requested Paul and Silas with respect to leave the prison, escorted them to the outside of the prison, and asked them to quietly leave for the next destination without making any issue about their misdeeds. They begged Paul and Silas for forgiveness. If Paul and Silas make issues with their beating and imprisonment of Roman citizens without a trial, they would be severely punished. As mentioned when looking at Acts chapter 16, that experience of Paul gave him a significant realization. It was a realization that such wastes Paul had thrown away would become precious tools to live as a witness of God, with the Lord as the goal of life. That Paul considered his pride waste means that he no longer considered those ways as his goal of life. 2,000 years ago, living as a citizen of Roman Empire, which conquered the whole Mediterranean world, was an incomparable privilege. The difference between the citizen and non-citizen in Roman Empire was that of the heaven and earth. If Paul had pursued living as a Roman citizen in the Roman Empire, he could have gained considerable fame and fortune based on his educational background, experiences, and capabilities. In that case, however, he would have become a person who had no connection with us, and his life would have ended in vain 2,000 years ago. In contrast, despite being a Roman citizen whom everybody in the Roman Empire would envy of, Paul considered his Roman citizenship as a waste and lived as a witness of God, making God, who is the way, the truth, and the life, as his sole purpose of life. The Roman citizenship that he considered a waste at the time protected Paul at the critical moment in today's text. As we'll look afterwards, by appealing to the Roman emperor based on the citizenship, Paul was able to enter Rome, the heart of the empire, under the protection of the Roman Empire. It is needless to say that all this was done under the mysterious providence of God, whose arm is never short. As such, the Roman citizenship, which would have eaten his life up meaninglessly, if he considered it the purpose of his life, became the tool of life that saved so many people who will receive gospel through him, when he thought it as a waste to live as a witness of God. That is the message that today's scripture tells us. The other day, Sister Hainley sent me some interesting text message to me as follows. There was a man who thought he was sick if he stops drinking for one day. One day, he received a book from a teacher he respected. He read the book overnight. The book said, "How harmful alcohol is to human body," very in detail. The man was deeply shocked and made a resolution that he would never read a book. To this drinker, alcohol was the Roman citizenship in today's text. If the man had been shocked and started thinking alcohol as a waste with nothing beneficial to him, he would have not only saved himself from the life addicted to alcohol, but also saved other drinkers, so become the source of life. This man, however, who proclaimed to stop reading to pursue drinking, the Roman citizenship, as the purpose of his life, would have foolishly exchanged his life with alcohol. However, isn't this drinker, who considers a waste as the purpose of life, isn't it actually us? What is the Roman citizenship that we consider as our purpose of life specifically? It could be money, it could be power, or it could be fame. As long as we make those things that can never take care of our life after death, the more we have such things, the faster it will consume and exhaust our life. Moreover, it would affect others' life as well. Let us not forget that. Making lifeless and inhumane things of this world as the purpose of life would be the most foolish behavior that ruins ourselves as the being which is lifeless and inhumane. In front of God, who is the everlasting way, the truth, and the life, money, power, and fame of this world is nothing more than a waste. That waste, however, to the witnesses who received God as the purpose of life, could become a protection to save themselves and others at once by God, just as the Roman citizenship of Paul in today's scripture. It is because through those who received God, the everlasting life, as their purpose of life, Even inhumane things of this world become the humane tool of life by God. The purpose of life to Christians is the Trinity God who gave us the eternal life. And everything on earth is no more than the means to live for God. In this regard, true faith of Christians is to tell the right purpose and means whenever and wherever. Once the means becomes purpose, no matter what it is, the means that became purpose could harm people. Therefore, the spirituality of Christians begins from throwing away worldly things that were considered the purpose of one's life as a waste. When seeing those things that we throw away as a waste becomes the tool of life that can save everyone in the arms of God, which are not too short to live as a witness who receive the Trinity God as the purpose of life. The spirituality of Christians deepens day by day as Paul in the scripture. Let us pray. Because I made the Roman citizenship that was supposed to be the means as the purpose of life, in spite of being a Christian who was saved with the precious blood of the cross, I failed to live as a citizen of heaven, but as a citizen of the Roman Empire instead. Since I consider the Roman citizenship as the purpose of life instead of the means, I had to live hurting people, not as a witness of God who saves people. Thank you for allowing me to realize this foolishness of myself through Paul in today's text. Help me to live as a true Christian who can distinguish the purpose and means whenever and wherever. Like Paul, help me not to forget the worldly Roman citizenship that I have been proud of is nothing better than a waste. Allow me to live as a witness of God who received only God, the way, the truth, and the life as the purpose of life, so that my belongings like wastes could become the tool of life that saves people. Help all of us to live as spiritual Christians and our spirituality be the motivation that renews the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.